Right. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Today is December 26th, year 2008, the Feast of St. Stephen. St. Stephen,
pray for us.
Christ is truly born.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Blessed and merry Christmas, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and all the angels and saints in heaven, and all the men of goodwill, just all the men of goodwill on earth, is first and foremost to all the Catholics, and us and Mary's little remnant. I again invoke the Holy Infant Jesus to assist me in exposing the Antichrist and all his plots, and to give our Lord God the true glory that he deserves, and also to make up for all the false devotions to our Jesus by Protestants, by the Vatican tourists who are not true Catholics, and by all the traditionalists who are not true Catholics. The infant in their manger is the Antichrist. It's not the true infant. Yeah. They do not know the true Jesus. Only we do here, and the few Catholics I know about in the whole world. So I invoke the Holy Infant Jesus, this powerful Almighty God, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to go before me again and continue on revealing some of these mysteries of the apocalypse. Holy Infant Jesus,
have mercy on us.
Okay. All right, now, okay. We're going to start out by talking about today, Daniel chapter 12, but before I do, and 7 maybe if we have time, but I want to get into one comment where I was talking about the other day. I say that the reign of the Antichrist, the 1260 days or the 3.5 years starts when he destroys the United States and he destroys Rome, and when he destroys the harlot and the Freemasons. Now, there's two opinions you can have on that, because his reign has to be in the temple in Jerusalem, so you need to have a temple built. Mm-hmm. And I'm going by the two opinions of even some of your Jews today, when they have different opinions. That one group of apostate Jews, Orthodox Jews, believe the temple needs to be built first, mm-hmm. and before the Antichrist can come. The other group believes that the Antichrist has to come first, and then the temple has to be built. Now, you can have two opinions on when that reign of Antichrist will start. My opinion is, and I believe, the temple will be built first. And he's not going to come into that temple yet until he finally, when he destroys the United States, destroys Rome, comes to power worldwide in 1 hour, then he shows himself in the temple and demands worldwide adoration. That's when his reign will begin, simultaneously. That's my opinion. But you can hold the other opinion that when he's going to destroy the United States, destroy Rome, destroy the Freemasons, and then build the temple, and then reign in the temple. Then his reign would start several months or 6, 7, however long it takes them to build the temple, till he's reigning in that temple, ruling in the temple. So you're talking about a difference of 6 months or a year, if you're going to go by that opinion. Then the reign would start a little bit after he destroys the harlot, because then he needs to build the temple, and then he needs to reign in that temple. Now, there's all different kinds of opinions that can go on there. You can even say before the temple's built, he's going to demand adoration to build a temple for him. But I think the temple's going to have to be made for him ahead of time. So I'm just saying, it doesn't matter which opinion you go on that, from the time the Antichrist begins to reign, in my opinion, as I happen to believe, the temple will be built, and it's when the destruction takes place. It's 3.5 years or 1260 days. And that's when God authorizes the witness to prophesy for 1260 days, as I said the other day, paralleling his kingdom. All right, now, you're going to read in Daniel chapter 12 events that we're talking about here that relate to the final days. And the prophet Daniel is relating some exact events that take place there. All right, now, I'm going to start reading from the book, but I may refer to this occasionally. And we're going to talk as we go along on that. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 12, and we're going to start out with verse 1. But at that time shall Michael rise up, the great prince who standeth for the children of the people, and a time shall come such as never was from that time, from the time the nations began, even until that time. And at that time shall the people be saved, every one that shall be found written in the book of life. Here we see Michael the archangel, the great importance of him defending us. And he's the primary defending angel of the church, the prince of all the angels. And how important it is to have devotion to Michael. And here's clear that they're talking about the final days too, because they're talking about the great tribulation. This is the great tribulation that Jesus talks about in Matthew 24. Where he says, in those days, the tribulation will be the greatest. Jesus Christ himself, referring to this passage, he goes, in Matthew 24, verse 15 and 21 to 22, when therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation was spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. That's the Antichrist, ruling in the temple and rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days have been shortened, no flesh should be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days should be shortened. There's two parallel passages. Daniel talks about that in Daniel 12:1, and he's saying, Michael's going to rise up and defend us in a special way, just like he did when he threw Lucifer out of heaven. Now he's going to be preparing for this final battle, which culminates in Lucifer being locked in hell for all eternity, along with the damned angels and all the damned humans. Because once the world is all over, this world ends, and Christ comes a second time, and all the demons and the damned humans are locked, the devils and the damned humans are locked in hell for all eternity. They can never come upon the face of the earth anymore. They will never come up to tempt. They will never come up to cause trouble. They will never have any freedoms whatsoever. They do have freedoms now to be able to wreak havoc and to come up and plot. But at that point, they're going to be sealed up. So this just, I want to remind all the people out there how important it is, especially our Catholic brothers, true devotion to St. Michael the Archangel. All right? That's why we pray the chaplet of St. Michael every day. And we have other prayers that we include at the end of our offices with a short St. Michael prayer. If you don't have a true devotion to Mary and St. Michael, you're not going to save your soul. You're doomed. And how can you expect to be helped by this great prince who was appointed as the leader of, and protector of us in these days if you don't have a daily prayer to him? If you don't pray to him daily? If you don't have a true devotion to St. Michael the Archangel? So just a reminder, brothers, this is one of our daily prayers in Mary's Little Remnant. We always pray the chaplet every day. And that's because, and we have plenty of devotions to the Blessed Mother. So we read about Michael, the great prince, being risen up in these days of great tribulation. And it says then, now he goes right, in verse 2, he's going right to the general judgment and the resurrection. He goes right to it in verse 2. And he says, and many of those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some unto life everlasting, and others unto reproach to see it always. Now he went, he skipped right from the reign of the Antichrist to the end of the reign of the Antichrist, and after the second coming of Christ, during the general judgment. And he's incorporating this in all the end days, the final days, the last times. And he's telling you, you're going to have the general resurrection. All the souls, the humans that are in hell right now, are going to get their bodies back, and then they're going to get thrown back into hell again, where they're going to be burning then and suffering body and soul for all eternity. And all the saints are going to get their bodies back in a glorified form, and they're going to be with God in heaven and on this new paradise, enjoying these beautiful, glorious bodies. So he's talking in verse 2 about the general judgment and the resurrection of the bodies. Then in verse 3 we go on to this. It says, but they that are learned shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall that instruct many to justice as stars through all eternity. And he's saying, now he's talking about, this is the lot of the saints. When they're already right now shining in heaven like stars, because they shine with the light of Christ in them. Real physical light too comes off of them. And he's saying that in his general judgment, when they get their bodies back even, all those, he calls them the learned. Notice he says that the elect who save their souls are the learned. That means they know their faith. That means they know their dogmas. That means they don't deny one dogma. They hold a full deposit of faith from the Old Covenant era when they were back then, and the New Testament, Old Testament era, up into the New Covenant era, which is the Catholic faith, the learned. It's not enough just to pray and to do sacrifices and to go to Mass on Sunday and confession on Saturday. The learned, he says. He didn't say those who go to Mass every Sunday, those who go to confession, although that's necessary when you have those things. But he's putting the emphasis here on the learned. And he means those who possess the Catholic faith. And that doesn't mean just say, I'm a Catholic, and you don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. For instance, most of your so-called Catholics out there, when I say so-called, they're not really Catholics. They don't even know what a heresy is, or what a heretic is. Or if they do, they're afraid to say anything is a heresy, or they're afraid to denounce any heretics. They don't know their dogmas, they don't care about their dogmas, or if they do know their dogmas, they don't make the proper judgments regarding those who deny the dogmas. Alright? But so here he's talking about the learned. And that's why our Lord says only those who have the faith can be saved. In Proverbs 17:16 it says, he who refuses to learn shall fall into evils. Proverbs 17:16. He who refuses to learn will fall into evils. Alright? Faith before the Mass, faith before the sacraments, faith before all else. You can save yourself without a Mass if you don't have one. You can save yourself without Catholic priests if you don't have them. But you can never save yourself without the faith. And in the New Covenant era, that's a Catholic faith in the Catholic Church. These are the learned. Daniel says they're going to be shining as stars forever in heaven and on the new earth. Now, he goes on to verse 4 to say, But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time appointed. Many shall pass over, and knowledge shall be made manifold. And I, Daniel, looked, and behold, as it were, two others stood on one side, two others stood, one on the side upon the bank of the river, and another on that side, on the other bank of the river. He's looking at two angels now, sitting on two sides of the river, probably encompassing the whole earth here. See, two angels. And I said to the man that was clothed in linen, that stood upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Daniel's saying, how long should this great tribulation last? How long shall this reign of the Antichrist last? That's what Daniel's asking him. And I heard the man that was clothed in linen, that stood upon the waters of the river, when he had lifted up the right hand and his left hand to heaven, and has sworn by him that liveth forever, that it should be unto a time, and a times, and a half time. There's another 3.5 year reign of the Antichrist, referred to, as we said the other day, a time, a times, and a half time. The time is 1 year, the times, multiples, 2 years, and a half time, half of a year. That's 3.5 years. That's unanimous consensus of church fathers. I went over that the other day. But here's another prophecy, Daniel telling you that the reign of the Antichrist is going to last 3.5 years. And listen, he says, a time, and a half time. And when the scattering of the band of the holy people shall be accomplished, all these things shall be fulfilled. I spoke about that yesterday. When they arrest me and the other witness and take us to Jerusalem, there's going to be a scattering of the Catholics. Because they're going to come after not just me. They're like what the apostles, what happened with our Lord when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they arrested Jesus. They scattered. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a scattering that takes place. Because the Antichrist then is going to be given power to be able to arrest the witnesses and kill them. And that means he's going to be coming after Catholics. And our home base, if it happens to still be here, which I believe it does, but I don't know that for sure, but I do believe we're going to be here where we are now till the end. I don't tell people where we're actually filming from right now because I don't want them to know about that. All right? But what I'm saying here right now, I think we really will be here until the end. All right? And they're going to arrest us right here and take us over to me, at least me, the other witness, and take us, maybe a few more of us, and take us to Jerusalem. But there's going to be a scattering. And Daniel says that. He says, You will know that those times, those 3.5 years I've ended, when the scattering of the band of the holy people shall be accomplished and these things shall be finished. I spoke about the that then also marks the end of the reign of the Antichrist. Because now God's got to come and help his Catholics, because if he doesn't, they will all be wiped off the face of the earth. So God now has steps in. And at the same time, the Antichrist thinks he has a supreme victory. And he thinks he does. He really flatters himself in thinking he can defeat us Catholics. And the fact that he was able to defeat the witnesses, at least physically, is going to give him confidence, as I said the other day, to fight against the earthly army and scatter them abroad and at least, you know, panic them a little bit or discourage them. That's what he thinks, he's going to be able to defeat them. And he's going to think he can even defeat Christ's heavenly army. Because he's figuring, I'm strong. Because Antichrist serves a God too, who is Satan. We know who's Satan, and he knows that. He knows he gets his power from Satan. And he's going to think Satan's more powerful than Christ. So he's going to think he can even fight against Christ's army in heaven. So look, we'll read that again. And I heard the man that was clothed in a linen that stood upon the waters of the river, when he had lifted up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and he had sworn to him that liveth forever, that it should be unto a time, a times, and a half time, and when the scattering of the band of the holy people shall be accomplished, all these things shall be finished. And I heard and understood not, and I said, O my Lord, what shall be after these things? And he said, Go, Daniel, because the words are shut up and sealed unto the appointed time. Many shall be chosen and made white, and shall be tried by fire. And the wicked shall deal wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the learned shall understand. Here we are again back to the learned. And what he means here by the learned is true wisdom. Not false wisdom, not scholasticism, not Thomism. It's true wisdom. Those who possess the true Catholic faith and speak the way the church fathers spoke. Speak the way all the great saints that were martyred in the early days of the church when they went out and made and did numerous miracles. They had the word of God. They had the wisdom of God. They had the dogmas, the deposit of the Catholic faith. They didn't care about philosophers or mythologists, mythological guys. If they did speak of philosophy, it was to refute it. and to convert them. But we're talking about here, the learned shall have understanding, they shall be of the elect, but they shall be tried by fire. Tried by fire. Meaning, the hardest thing for people right there that are listening today are not Catholic yet, that are of good will and may want to be Catholic. The hardest thing for them is breaking away from the world, breaking away from their family members, breaking away from their friends, breaking away from everything they've ever been taught, never knew about. And that's a trial by fire. You're going to be tempted by every means for the devil to try to keep you in that world. And he's going to tempt you. And if you're committing mortal sins, you're going to have to overcome those mortal sins before you can even become learned. And then even when you come into the church like we do, we're constantly being tried by fire. Us now, even now. As new people come in and people go out, as we're every day we got to deal with these people that are out there to try to convert them, or new people that are coming in that were catechumens and we're trying to teach and train them. But the main trial, and you're going to be tested during the persecutions of Antichrist. They're going to arrest some of us. They're going to put us under the gun. They're going to put us under trial. They're going to threaten to torture us. They are going to torture us. And they're going to put the pliers on us and say, deny Christ, deny your God. All right, we're going to be tried by fire. But it says the learned are the ones that are going to be of the elect. Learned. Learned. It doesn't say those who go to Mass on Sunday and those who go to confession on Saturday. And I tell you, I've been living out there amongst these traditional so-called Catholics. They don't know nothing. And the ones that do know something, they know nothing. What they know is nothing. Because what they know is not the Catholic faith. It's scholasticism. It's Thomism. It's these modern theologians. They do not know the Catholic faith. And even a few dogmas they do know, it doesn't matter when people deny them. They say they can all be saved for invincible ignorance. They don't stand up for dogmas when they're being denied. They don't condemn heresies. They don't denounce heretics. They don't condemn books and bad books. They don't come out and preach the way we're preaching. Just listen to these other people that are preaching as I'm preaching. But really, most of them don't even know their dogmas at all. All right? So you got to be learned, which means have the true Catholic faith. And it says, the wicked shall deal wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They'll never listen to us. These are the people Jesus said, even if someone comes from back to the dead, they're not going to believe because they're wicked. And the wicked will not have learned, he means, will not have true wisdom. He says, the wicked will deal wickedly unto the end, and they will always deal wickedly. They will not convert. All those now talking about the reprobates, those who are obstinately evil are not going to listen to us, and they never will. And I say it so many times, we're not here for them. Who cares about it? I don't. I'm not here for you then. God knows who they are. I don't. I'm here for the goodwill of my own soul, to give glory to God, send my own soul for other people who are of goodwill. But this is to help you not be discouraged when the multitudes of the people out there who will not convert, because most people aren't going to convert. They're all going to end up in hell. They're going to be the wicked that are going to deal wickedly to the end. And once we've tried somebody enough, two or three times, and we conversed with him and found out he's obstinately wicked, obstinately sinful, obstinately darkened in heresy, whatever, we don't communicate with him no more. We add him to our prayer list, put him under our altar, and pray for him, but we don't talk to him. Let this be a warning to all you people out there that if we determine you're bad will and obstinate, we've given you enough truth and you don't listen, don't call us, don't email us, don't write us letters, don't talk to us. I don't want to know nothing about you. I'm just going to put your name on a letter. I don't even want to mention your name off of my lips. But it will be under our altar, and we will pray for you in general. Unless it's somebody that we know who we've been dealing with for a while goes bad, then we'll mention his name. But just to let you know, we don't need you. You need us. You don't believe that? Stay where you are with the world and the devil in the flesh. Now, he goes on to say, after that was verse 10. Many shall be chosen and made white, and shall be tried by fire. And the wicked shall deal wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the learned shall understand. Verse 11, and from the time when the continual sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination unto desolation shall be set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now here's the 90 days I was talking about yesterday. He didn't say 1,260 days, which is strictly 3.5 years. We're going to tell you why. But first, before we get into that, let's do that first, the 1,290 days, okay? And we're going to read the commentaries on that. And they even say, he's got some extra days on there other than the 1,260, and they don't quite know why. They're trying to figure that out. All right, and when you see what he's talking about here, he's talking about here, when he says reign, he really means now even to the destruction of Antichrist. So he's totally obliterated, killed, off the face of the earth. His reign really does end at 1260, but he's still alive 30 days later. Because look in the next verse what Daniel says here after that. He goes 1290 days, and it says, blessed, verse 12, is he that waiteth and cometh unto 1,335 days. Okay? He's saying blessed are those who wait for 1,335 days, which is 75 days after the 1260. So we're saying blessed. That means all that's left upon the first face of the earth are the elect. That means all the wicked people are already destroyed and Christ is ready to come. It's the second coming of Christ is what he's talking about here. He's talking about that's when Christ will land upon earth. Not just be up in the heavens conducting the combat in which they're looking at him and the angels are destroying the wicked people. Because remember I said before, after that darkness, Christ appears in heaven. Then his angels go out and gather all the wicked that are trying to hide in the rocks and the caves. And they wipe off all the wicked of the earth. All right, now, so we were talking about, Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 through 43. And he talks about the point time when the Antichrist is already killed, all right, which causes the darkness, all right. The next light is Christ in heaven, all right, appearing with his army, not landing on earth yet, instructing his angels to go out, and then everybody who was fighting against Christ now looks upon him whom they pierced, and are shaking in their boots. They know it's the Catholic Christ, not the Protestant Christ, as I said, or the Talmudic Jewish Christ, or the Muslim Christ, or the Greek Schismatic Christ, or the Russian Orthodox Christ. It's the Catholic Christ, and they know it. And now, the opposite, and at that point, if you're not converted, it's too late. So they're running. They're trying to hide in caves. The angels are going out and are going to now gather them. And we read about that in Matthew 13, starting to verse 41. The Son of Man shall send his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all scandals and them that work iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the just shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. He says, then all that will be left on earth are the just, who shall shine forever and ever. Then all that will be left are the just, who are good Catholics, who saved their souls, are going to shine for all eternity. So now we know that 1,335 days is telling us that 1,260 days, when the Antichrist reign ends, all right, he goes into exile for 30 more days, which brings us up to 1,290, and gets killed after the 1,290 days. Then 45 days after that, or 75 days after the end of his reign, Jesus Christ lands upon earth at Mount Olivet. So Daniel's giving you the time frame right here. Daniel is telling you exactly how these events are going to come to place and what time it's going to happen. So at the end of the reign of the Antichrist, 1260 days, 30 days later, the Antichrist is killed, and 75 days after the end of his reign, Christ lands upon Mount Olivet, or 45 days after the Antichrist is killed. It all fits perfectly in this prophecy of Daniel, and he fills in some other gaps I'm going to tell you about if we have time to do Daniel 7 today. But let me go on and let's read that again from Daniel 12, 11 to 13. And from the time when the continual sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination unto desolation shall be set up, Antichrist ruling, his physical reign in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, there shall be 1,290 days. He adds on an extra 30 days because he looks upon the complete ruin of his reign when he's actually destroyed. All right, and blessed is he that waiteth and cometh on to 1,335 days. Now, let's read about the commentary on that. The Haydock commentary has something interesting to say, because it also relates, this is also a prefigurement of what happened during the time of the Maccabees, when you had Antiochus Epiphanius, who reigned almost 3 years. 3 years and, I think they said, 3 years and, 3 years and 3 months, or 3 years and 2 months, or something. Very close, because this prefigures, Antiochus Epiphanius is a prefigurement of what's going to happen with the ultimate Antichrist. Now, the commentary on that, it's in here, says this. Here's a Haydock commentary on verse 12. After the 3 years and a half, they're talking about 58 days will occur before the death, or they're talking about Antiochus Epiphanius now, but how it related to him. But it's the same principle we're going to talk about. After the 3 years and a half, 58 days will occur before the death of Antiochus. So what they're saying, Antiochus, who was a figure of the Antichrist, after his reign ends, 3.5 years, there's 58 more days before he's killed, before the death of Antiochus. When Judas Maccabeus, the hero, the Christ of that time, will disperse the troops of the generals. During that time, when the reign ends, Antiochus went into exile and hid for 58 days, and Judas dispersed his tribes. It's exactly what we're talking about here in these times. When the reign of the Antichrist ends, okay, after the witnesses are resurrected and the great earthquake takes place, and the Antichrist and false prophet run, and then the earthly army of Christ gets confidence and starts fighting against them and defeating the Antichrist army that's in dispersion. and Antichrist gets killed 30 days later. Antiochus Epiphanes, they say, got killed 58 days later. But his army was being dispersed and defeated at that time. And it says, some respite will be granted for the 45 days during which sinners may repent. Now, he's talking about that time I spoke about to you guys the other day. That during that time, when the Antichrist is routed, when his army is being defeated, all right, and before the darkness even, before Antichrist is defeated, you're going to have time. Within that period of time, you're going to have to convert. And it says some Jews will convert in Jerusalem. Yeah.
Now, will they have already taken the mark, these people? You know what I mean? Like, I thought if you took the mark...
No, that's not... There's another good thing. Rules bring it up. And I'll mention it briefly, and we'll go into it. People were of the opinion that once you take the mark, you can never repent. That's false.
Okay.
That is not true. And I always was uncomfortable about that, because God's always merciful to those who live. Yeah. And the time of mercy is open for everybody who lives, except for those whom God has told us are of the reprobate. That's the Antichrist and false prophet. When you know you're dealing with those characters, they're damned. Only because God told us. But it's a fallacy to believe that anybody you people are out there who take the mark and you really give in and you really mess up for a while and then you get to hear my sermons now or whatever, you can repent. You can repudiate the mark. Mm-hmm. You can say, I don't no longer serve you. That's what these Jews are going to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what the Jews are going to do when I get resurrected and the other witness, and they look upon it and the temple gets punished, they're going to convert. Mm-hmm. So these are people that had the mark and are going to repudiate the mark.
Okay.
So having the mark does not mean you're doomed. If you took it, you can still undo it. The darkness is your last chance.
Okay.
The darkness. But you do have a chance for the 3 days. I don't know if it's 3 days. I'm not going to make a prediction on how many days the darkness is going to last. But I got some other days feeding in here to give us some idea on certain things. But when that darkness takes place, that's your last time to convert. Because once Christ comes in heaven and you see him and his brightness, you can't convert then. Mm-hmm. So even after Antichrist dies, this darkness, you have time to convert. But what they're talking about, same thing happened here. They're saying there's a respite for 45 days after Antiochus was killed, was in hiding, and his armies were dispersed. And it says, and after he was killed even. It is difficult to say why 45 days are here added to the former number. We are content to depart with Daniel without searching any further into the high mysteries. He doesn't know what these extra days mean. Daniel's looking at the ultimate destruction of the Antichrist when he's wiped off the face of the earth of a false prophet and thrown into the pit. He's looking at that point in time. But his reign really ends after the witnesses are resurrected in the earthquake and he gets dispersed. That's when his reign ends. 30 days later, he gets killed, thrown in the pit alive. And then 45 days after that, which is 1335 days, Christ lands upon Mount Olivet. Mm-hmm. The second coming is complete. Because look what Daniel's saying again. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh unto 1,335 days. And they call that's what the patience of the saints are too. So all those who are remaining after 1,335 days are going to be all the blessed. Everything will be then wrapped up. As far as not everything, but everything with the Antichrist kingdom is going to be wrapped up. You now have the general judgment because Christ now lands on earth. Once Christ lands on earth, then he has the general judgment in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. All right, now what we're going to talk about here is Daniel. Prophet Daniel tells us that all the wicked in Daniel chapter 7, he tells us that all the wicked are dead, wiped off the face of the earth and sent to hell within 60 days after the Antichrist, after the end of the reign of the Antichrist, when their power is taken away. Now, in Daniel 7, 11 to 12, he tells us two things. 11, he tells us about the beast being destroyed, and then he tells us about the people that are left over that served the beast, that served him. And actually, his reign is. So we're going to start with chapter 11. And Daniel says, and beheld, I beheld because of the voice of the great words which that horn spoke, which was the Antichrist. And I saw that the beast was slain, and the body thereof was destroyed, given to the fire to be burnt. Daniel's prophesying that the Antichrist is going to be thrown into the pit with a false prophet alive, where he's going to be burnt. That's prophesied. So we find that in the book of the Apocalypse being prophesied. But here's the important part on our time. And we know that that's going to take place 30 days after his reign ends, which is 1260 days then into his reign. Now, verse 12 says, and that the power of the other beasts was taken away. That means the other kings that served him, that are now dispersed, and all his followers, and that the power of the other beasts was taken away, and that times of life were appointed them for a time and a time. So now he says, they weren't killed with the Antichrist, not all of them. they were still around. They're dispersed. They're scattered. They're hiding in the rocks. They're being defeated. But time of life, they're still alive, Daniel says. His followers are still alive. These beasts, these kings that served him are still alive and quaking in their boots. And he says, we know that they can't be around anymore than what Daniel told us in 1335 days. So up to that, that's when Christ comes the second time. Mm-hmm. So this time and a time he's talking about. What does that mean, time and a time? We're now talking in time periods of months, not years. Mm-hmm. So a time means 1 month, and a time means another month. Mm-hmm. It means 2 months. It means 60 days. And it says their power, from the time their power was taken away, not when the Antichrist was killed and destroyed, but when his reign ended.
Right.
That's when the power was taken away. So now we know that all of these people that followed the Antichrist, all the wicked evildoers on the face of the earth, mm-hmm. will still be, a lot of them, not all of them, some will be dying in the earthquakes and all that, but you're going to still have some of them on the face of the earth for 60 days later, because it was given them a time and a time of life after the power was taken away from them. Mm-hmm. And the power was taken away from these kings when Antichrist flees from Jerusalem and when his 1260 days ends. Mm-hmm. It doesn't start when he's killed, because mm-hmm. their power is already gone 30 days before that.
Right.
Okay? Now, the time and time he's talking about here, we know, does not have anything to do with years. It has to do with months. Mm-hmm. Because Daniel already told us, blessed are they who wait 1335 days, which is 75 days added on to the 1260. So now Daniel's giving us a little another piece of the puzzle here. He's saying, and we read that again, Daniel 7:12, and that the power of the other, he says, and that the power of the other beasts was taken away, and that times of life were appointed them for a time and a time. But Daniel's now telling us that it's a time and a time. That's 1 month and 1 month. That's 60 days. That means at the end of the 60th day, Christ would have already came in heaven with his army, with his angels. They would have gone out and gathered all the wicked, right. and they would have killed them and thrown them into hell. So at the end of that 60th day, there's no more wicked people upon the face of the earth. That means we got 15 more days left over in which all the just, all the good Catholics that were alive at that time are now gathered in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, waiting for Christ to come the second time. There's a 15 period day of time, because that's 60 days, you add on 15, there's a 15 day period of time in which the good Catholics from out the whole world were also gathered by the angels and put in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and they're waiting for 15 days for this Christ, who they saw in heaven, to land on earth at Mount Olivet, and then to begin the general judgment. So there's this 15-day period of rejoicing. But at that point, almost the whole earth is going to be burnt up. All the wicked evildoers are gone. They're all in hell. And the just are rejoicing, probably offering up prayers and praises. And you can imagine what a glorious 15 days that's going to be. But then Christ comes and lands on Mount Olivet 15 days later. Daniel tells us that these kings, from the time their power was taken away, there was a time and a time. There were 60 mm-hmm. days. Which is actually even, which means then that 30 days after the Antichrist is destroyed, then all the wicked doers are destroyed. Mm-hmm. All right. So within 60 days. All right. Now, the thing I want to talk about here was that the 3 days of darkness is the last chance you have to convert. Now, once Christ comes in heaven, doesn't land on earth yet. Son of Man is seen in the clouds of heaven with his army, and they're all looking at him, and they're all running. I said it's too late to convert. We don't know how long that darkness is going to be. People prophesy and say it's 3 days. If that's true, and it very well may be true, the 3 days of darkness, you're talking about Antichrist is killed on the 30th day, darkness for 3 days. And on the fourth day, Christ is seen in heaven. That means you only have 33 days after the witnesses are resurrected, and you only have 3 days after the Antichrist is killed to repent. Because after that, once Christ comes and you look upon him, you can't repent anymore. The reason I say that is because it's too easy. That Christ is already wrapping things up. He already made the seal. I'll tell you why I think Scripture backs me up, folks, on that. Well, we're going to get that in the future, because God talks to his angels when they're going out to gather the people, you know, when he's seen in heaven, and he tells them to mark them already. They're already being marked, permanently marked. So I really believe that 3 days of darkness is your last chance. And if it's 3 days, and it very well may be, like we read about, then that means it's only going to last for 3 days after the Antichrist. You have 3 days once that darkness starts to convert. Once you see Christ come from heaven into glory, and he lights up the earth again, the next light, that true light that lighteneth up the earth, that's it. Nobody can convert. And now it's just a mop-up job. They're going to get the wicked off the face of the earth, and then they're going to knock them down into hell, And we know that's going to take place 60 days after the end of the reign of the Antichrist. Daniel tells us in Daniel 7:12. And I'll read again 11 and 12 together, because he's beholding the beast being slain. Then he goes back and he talks about the people who serve the beast. And I beheld because of the voice of the great words which that horn spoke, the Antichrist, and I saw that the beast was slain. And the body thereof was destroyed and given to the fire to be burnt, just like it's prophesied. He's going to be thrown into hell alive. And that the power of the other beasts was taken away, and that ended at the end of his reign in 1260 days, and that times of life were appointed to them for a time and a time. God didn't kill them right away. He's letting them live for a time and a time. He's letting them live for 60 more days. All right? Okay, we're now going to read from Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And from the time when the continual sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination unto desolation shall be set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And here the prophet Daniel is talking about the total reign of the Antichrist. All right? And that when he comes to power, it's going to be 1,290 days until he's thrown in the pit of hell alive. Now, when the Antichrist comes to power, he's going to outlaw all religions but his religion. He's going to outlaw all gods but his God. And he's going to outlaw all sacrifices except sacrifices offered to him. Hence, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, he's going to outlaw. And he's going to ban it, and it's going to make it a worldwide law that priests, valid priests, are forbidden to perform the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And he's going to go out and kill these valid priests, everyone that God allows them to kill, to make sure that there's no even Masses being said secretly. Now, God's going to allow this because all these priests that are going to be killed are worthy of being killed and sent to hell because they're sacrilegious blasphemers who are abusing the precious body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ, because they're really fallen away Catholics. Even though they, like the Vatican tours and all these traditionalists, they're apostates, they're heretics, they're schismatics. They're sacrilegiously been using the Mass for years now. As I've been telling all the people out there right now, God's going to allow these priests to be punished. First of all, going back from the 14th century, even when they started to fall away from the faith, and now for maybe 30, 40 years or so, we don't even have any legal Masses. There's no Catholic priests left. Every Mass that's being offered today is a sacrilege. So the Antichrist is being doing a service to God. God's going to allow them to go out there and massacre these priests, like your Father Chicadas and your Sanborns and your Father Harrisons, if they don't convert. The only priests that God's going to protect are priests that have abjured and came into the Catholic Church and are with us. Or maybe a few of them that are of goodwill that God knows will convert when these things start to happen. Prophet Ezekiel talks about that. Now the point in this, when Daniel, what we're reading about, when he says the continual sacrifice shall be taken away, St. Hippolytus gives us the proper interpretation on this. He says that what that really actually means is when Antichrist comes to power and he rules in the temple and demands worldwide adoration, he's also going to abolish, outlaw, the holy sacrifice at a Mass. He's going to come out and pass a law, no more holy sacrifices at a Mass. He's going to hunt down the priest, valid priest, and kill him. Almost everyone in the world. He's going to knock down all the cathedrals and churches in Europe and all the statues, and he's going to level them down to the ground. Maybe he'll convert some of them over to temples of worship towards him. But there'll be no more Catholic places in all Europe. And Europe will remain desolate throughout the whole reign of Antichrist, and it will not be restored. At Armageddon, you're going to find all the European nations fighting with the Antichrist. God will turn his back so completely on Europe that there is no restoration for Europe. He will then turn over and convert strange nations, other nations that were not, like the Chinese and the Vietnamese and the Koreans. He's going to be working with nations like that. He's going to be converting the Orthodox Jews. He's going to be converting Muslims. Europe is abandoned by God. And there's going to be no holy sacrifice in the Mass offered there if he can knock out all the priests, valid priests in there. They can't even say Mass privately. But the question then comes, are there going to be any holy sacrifices in the Masses that are going to be offered? Yes, there are. That's not what this verse, it means he's going to outlaw it, but there's going to be very few. And in particular, it's even a very positive, a strong opinion that's only really going to, at least in the beginning, be one, and it's going to be where the two witnesses are. Because where the two witnesses are is where the faith is going to be, and it's going to be the home of the church. And whatever priests do convert, then we will have a Catholic priest, and we will have a holy sacrifice at a Mass. But it's going to be so rare and so few, it's going to be in very few places, and we're going to have to, of course, be opposing this law of the Antichrist, who bans the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now we read about First of all, we're going to read about Hippolytus when he talks about the Antichrist outlawing the Mass. Then we're going to read about a commentary in Apocalypse 11 by Pastorini, where he said, during the reign of the Antichrist, there's going to be so few Masses that the beloved St. John sees only a legal Mass being offered in one place, where the two witnesses are, and in one church with one altar. That's all he sees. All right? And we'll read that first, even. That's Apocalypse 11:1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and it was said to me, arise and measure the temple, singular, of God, and the altar, singular, and them that adore therein, singular. And we read the commentary in Apocalypse 11:1. The churches consecrated to the true God are so much diminished in number that they are represented by St. John as one church, its ministers officiate at one altar, and all the true faithful are so few, with respect to the bulk of mankind, that the evangelist sees them assembled in one temple to pay their adoration to the Most High. Pastorini, that's his commentary. If that's not literal, it's going to be very close to literal. There may be a few other Catholic priests saying Mass in other areas, but not many. And if it's literal, there's only going to be one. It's going to be said where the two witnesses, the home of the two witnesses, which right now is here in New Mexico, okay, where we're living. We are going to have a Catholic priest convert, and we will have Masses here, but a Mass here. You know, whether there's going to be other Catholic priests to say Mass elsewhere, maybe, a few. So when it says the continual sacrifice will be taken away, it means Antichrist is going to legally outlaw it. That's what that really means. You're going to read Hippolytus give his opinion on that, and I believe his opinion is the true one. It's the one that holds up. And he talks about this in the Treatise on the Antichrist, and he starts in paragraph 33 and 34. At that time, the whole earth will bewail the life of anguish, because all have turned aside from the holy God and obeyed the deceiver and received the mark of that abominable one, the enemy of God, instead of the quickening cross of the Savior. He's already talking about the reign of the Antichrist. And the churches too will wail with a mighty lamentation, because neither oblation nor incense is attended to, nor a service acceptable to God, but the sanctuaries of the churches would become like a garden watcher's hut. He's saying abandoned. And I will tell you, it's worse than that. They're going to be destroyed. The Antichrist is going to level all the Catholic churches, all the cathedrals in Europe, all the statues, and elsewhere. All right, except in a few places where we are, God maybe we may give us some preservation of some churches that where people are going to convert. But all throughout Europe, there's going to be no Catholic churches left. He's going to destroy them and the cathedrals. And if there's any non-Catholic priests left that God does not allow him to kill, they will not be offering up a legal sacrifice neither, just like today. Today, there's no legal sacrifices at all offered in the Mass. There is no continual sacrifice offered up today that's acceptable to God. It's been that way now for 10, 20, 30 years, because there's no Catholic priests, all right? And during this time, when Antichrist actually outlaws it, he's going to make sure there's not even illegal Masses. He doesn't want any sacrifice being offered, all right? So you're looking at Hippolytus saying here that, and he says, and the holy body and blood of Christ will not be shown in those days. The public service of God shall be extinguished. Psalmody shall cease, and the reading of Scripture shall not be heard, but for men there shall be darkness and lamentation and woe upon woe. So what he's saying is that publicly, because the Antichrist puts this ban out, almost in the whole world you're not going to have any Mass, and the Mass we're going to have, we're going to be violating his decree. It's going to be like in secret or private. You can say it's like private, because we're going to probably be offering it up. If we don't have a real, actual church building here, which we don't have right now, we now do Mass prayers in Mary's little house right here, and that's where we offer up our Mass prayers. And that may be where we're going to have our Masses too, like in the early church, when the Catholics were persecuted, and they had no churches but homes, and they would say Mass in home. That's what we're going to have. We are going to have that. That's definite, but we're only going to have very few Catholic priests in that day. You know, you're going to—I know we're definitely going to have a Catholic Mass being offered here. But you got to understand too that this is a great just punishment from God. We're going to celebrate when Antichrist kills these bastard priests and bishops that call themselves Catholic. Prophet Ezekiel talks about it. I don't have the verse offhand right now, but he talks about when Rome's going to be destroyed, and not just Rome. It's a prefigurement of the Antichrist going out and killing all valid priests. And all these so-called Catholic priests, killing them all. And our Lord says, mark thou upon the forehead of those priests that were of good will that are converted or will convert. There may be a few God's going to spare, but the bulk of them our Lord's going to kill. This way we don't got to worry about your Chicadas and your Sanborns and your Harrisons and all these bastard priests babbling their mouth off anymore and deceiving people with a false Catholicism, because they're going to be killed unless they convert. So I'm warning them even. Don't even wait till then. Because if you wait till then, God's going to let the Antichrist kill you, and we're going to rejoice when it happens. because the Antichrist is not as evil as you people. You're more evil than him because you're misrepresenting the Catholic faith. So God's going to use the Antichrist to do this great purification. He's going to wipe out all valid priests, even Russian Orthodox schismatics, if he can get his hand on them. Especially in particular the so-called Catholic ones. He's going to try to eliminate valid priests so there can be no more sacrifice at a mass. So what's going to happen in these days when the continual sacrifice being taken away, that's what that means. It means when Antichrist comes to power, this is quite natural because he wants to show himself as the only God. He wants his religion to be the only religion. And he wants sacrifice only to be offered up to him. So he's going to take away, especially the sacrifice he even hates the most, which is really the true sacrifice, the holy sacrifice at a mass. So he's going to also outlaw it throughout the world. See, back in the old days, this also applied when Antiochus Epiphanius outlawed the sacrifices offered in the temple, because back then the sacrifice had to be offered in the temple. So when he came to power, he banned all the sacrifices that were offered in the temple so that there could be no other sacrifice. And he set up an idol inside the temple, and he himself showed himself as the God of the earth. All right, so this is what's happening now, because sacrifice is offered up everywhere and not just in one place. He's going to outlaw the holy sacrifice at a mass throughout the whole world. All right, and then reading the Pastorini comment, we're learning right here where it's saying that this particular vision of the beloved St. John, he sees join the reigning Antichrist so few that he only sees one church with one altar where there's only one legal mass. And that's definitely going to be here with the two witnesses. There's definitely going to be a legal mass here when we get our converted priest. And as I believe, even one of the witnesses is going to be a pope, so he needs to be made priest, he needs to be made bishop, and he needs then to be, so he can become a pope. So we're going to even have a converted bishop. Now, where that comes from, God knows, I do not know. But I do know one thing right now, that everybody, when this day does happen, I'm going to celebrate, though, because they haven't been offering up a legal mass for a long time, and there's nothing no worse than sacrilege. So this... God is going to use the Antichrist to wipe out all these priests. He's going to knock down their churches. All the great cathedrals in Europe are gone. Europe is going by the wayside, and it will never have any restoration anymore. God is going to totally abandon them to the camp of the Antichrist. And that's it. And they're going to be fighting with the Antichrist all the way to the end, even in Armageddon. All Europe I'm talking about now. Their churches, their cathedrals, their statues. And thank God even the naked ones and the filthy pictures are all going to be knocked down as a punishment for the great sins of Europe when she started to fall away from the Catholic faith in the 14th century. You've been disobeying God now for many years. And when the Jews disobeyed God, he finally banished them and took away all their lands and all their synagogues, and he put them into dispersion. And even now, until today, the apostate Jews, until just recently, they have Israel, but we know that Israel is an abomination of desolation. But now Europe is going to lay desolate. Europe is going to lay desolate and in the clutches of the Antichrist for the whole reign of the Antichrist. And Europe is going to be fighting in Armageddon, but on the side of the Antichrist. There will be no restoration in Europe. None. None. God will utterly reject them, and he will turn to strange nations like China, some of the Muslim nations and the Orthodox Jews, and he will convert them, and maybe some liberal Jews even. But you're going to get conversions from these people now, and he's going to turn his back on Europe. There is no restoration for Europe. God will not allow it. If you're living in Europe, and you're in Spain, you're in Italy, you're in Germany, and you're of goodwill, you're going to need to convert and come over here with us and live with us, or you're going to have to live in exile in your own country, because your own country is not going to come back to Catholicism. Our Lord is going to allow the Antichrist to devastate Europe, and there's not going to be one Catholic thing left standing. If there is, the Antichrist is going to take it into his service and consecrate it to him. That's what's going to happen, and we're going to rejoice, because we've been waiting for this day, because of all your mythological creatures inside these churches, because of all of your theophilosophy, because of all your naked art that you have in that Catholic Europe. And we've been warning you about this, and God's been warning you about it since the Black Plague, when he unleashed Satan in the 14th century. Now your punishment is coming, and you are doomed. And there is no national restoration throughout Europe anywhere. So if you want, I'm warning you people in Europe, the best thing to do is to get yourself over here to be with us, in New Mexico, if you convert, or pray God that he gives you a few safe havens over in Europe. But I think God's going to totally turn his back on all the Europeans. If they don't convert now, there may be a few in exile hiding out in the hut somewhere, but he's going to totally devastate them. God's turning his back on them completely. All right, so let that be a warning to all you people who think there's going to be some restoration. Do you actually think you deserve a restoration after 700 years of offending God? Did the Jews get away with offending God? Yeah, for a while. After even Solomon went bad, it was 400 or 300 years before he actually destroyed the temple. Well, I'm telling you people, your day's coming. Alright? So what the prophet Daniel is talking about in here is very important for us to understand that sequence of the events. I'll read it again. Daniel 12:11. And from the time that the continual sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination unto desolation shall be set up. There shall be 290 days. And I'll read the Haydock commentary on that just to show you how they pick up also on the... this is the Haydock commentary, by the way, on Matthew 24:15. The abomination of desolation will be more completely fulfilled by Antichrist and his precursors. And they shall attempt to abolish the holy sacrifice of the Mass. St. Hippolytus, in his treatise De Antichristo, mentioned by Eusebius, St. Jerome, and Photius, thus writeth, the churches shall lament with great lamentations, because there shall neither be made oblations, nor incense, nor worship grateful to God. In those days the liturgy or mass shall be neglected, the psalmody shall cease, and the reciting of scripture shall not be heard. The prophet Daniel calculates the reign of the Antichrist from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, which by able commentaries is understood of the sacrifice of the Mass, which the Antichrist will endeavor to suppress. So what he's saying is that means he is going to outlaw it. That's what that really means. And it doesn't mean you're not going to ever have any other Mass again, or one Mass, or a few Masses, but he's going to outlaw it. He's going to do everything in his power to suppress it, which means killing valid priests, knocking down Catholic churches and cathedrals, and he's 99% of these... He's going to be successful. He really will. And we, I say it again, are going to celebrate when that happens. Because of all these people who put the Mass before the faith. And they're going to find out what punishment waits them. And if you die tomorrow, you end up going to hell because of it. Because not only are you not receiving any benefit from that Mass, you're actually getting cursed every time you go to Mass. Because you're committing sacrilege. And you're receiving our Lord precious body, blood, soul, and divinity when you're not in a state of grace. So Antichrist is going to be God's minister of justice in this matter. He's going to massacre these priests. And we're going to celebrate. Because then at that time, there's only going to be one form of Catholicism left. The only form, the true form, the one we are teaching right now. Alright? And again, there's going to be very few. There may be only one. It may be only offered here. There may be a few other Catholic priests here and there, but few. And it's going to be in private, and we're going to be opposing the Antichrist law that bans the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So that's the real interpretation of Daniel, what that really means. That it's when Antichrist comes to power, he naturally is going to ban all sacrifices except sacrifices offered to him, so therefore he's going to ban the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which he even hates the most. Okay, so this is what this interpretation means. All right, and all you people that are going to these Masses, we've been warning you for I don't know how long. I don't know of any Catholic priest in the whole world. There hasn't been any legal Masses been offered up for a really long time. Yeah, you got valid Masses, but they're illegal and they're sacrilegious. And eventually God's going to wipe out that even, so you can't even have those. And then in the reign of the Antichrist, I say, it's more glorious than even, it's better than these days. I hate these days the most. Because the Catholic Church, the Catholic religion, and the Catholic Mass is being abused by phonies who call themselves Catholics who are not Catholics. This is the worst pain now. Not then. We got a physical battle against the Antichrist means nothing to me. I don't mind going to physical battle. That doesn't mean anything to me. But at that time I know one thing, I'm going to rejoice out to the high heavens to our Lord God, because at that time there's only going to be the true Catholicism. All the other phonies are going to be destroyed, and that's what we're preaching. We are the Catholic Church. We are teaching the Catholic religion and the Catholic faith. And in God's due time, we're going to have converted a bishop to convert, we're going to have a priest to convert, and we're going to have a holy sacrifice to the Mass legally. And when that day happens, you're going to see the heavens and the earth shaking when that happens. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen, I know, here. And it may happen in a few other places that I don't know about. And I'm going to end by reading this section that we're talking about, by reading again Apocalypse 11:1 about Pastor Rini's comment. The churches consecrated to the true God are so much diminished in number that they are represented by St. John as one church. Its ministers officiate at one altar. And all the true faithful are so few with respect to the bulk of mankind that the evangelist sees them assemble in one temple to pay their adorations to the Most High God. What does that mean to all you priests out there? What does that mean to all you valid priests that think you're Catholic? All you thousands that belong to the Vatican II Church, that belong to the Apostate Society of St. Pius V, that belong to the Apostate and Schismatic Society of St. Pius X, that belong to the Apostate and Heretical CMRI groups, all you traditionalists, all you so-called Catholics, what does it mean to all you guys out there? There's so few. That means all you guys are bums, rotten, filthy, dirty apostates, worse than the Antichrist. Yes, you're worse, because you call yourself Catholic. I'd rather have you be honest and start your own church like Luther did, instead of call yourselves Catholic, but your day's coming. Mark my words. Let's see what Jesus talks about on this thing right here. And Jesus is verifying what Daniel says. Now we're going to read Matthew 24, verse 15, starting with verse 15, Matthew 24. Well, therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. He that readeth, let him understand. That they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. That's how we know it's in Jerusalem too, because this takes place in Judea. And he that is, and also he's accepted by the Jews, but I don't want to get into that now. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back and take out the coat. And woe to them that are with child and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath, for there shall be then great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world, nor world until now, neither shall be. So here we are. Jesus is verifying what Daniel's speaking about, that this abomination of desolation is the beginning of the reign of the Antichrist. And Daniel said that once that reign, it's going to last for a time of times and a half time, 3.5 years. The faithful will be scattered because the two witnesses are arrested, all right? And God allows the devil out to have power over good Catholics, so they're scattered, all right? And he also says that when the witnesses are resurrected, okay, what I spoke about the other day, and the earth, great earthquake and all the things that God does to the earth, destroys, literally, splits into three parts Jerusalem. The other Jews that are left convert and repudiate the Antichrist, and he runs. It's like a coup, you know, they throw him over. He runs out, and he's gone out of there. And then it says, then the kings that followed him and all the people that followed him are still given time to live, even though he will be killed 30 days later, and their time was given for a time and a time, which we're talking about months now here. And so it's 2 months, 60 days, and Daniel already told us by the end of 1,335 days, all right, from the beginning of the reign of the Antichrist all the way to 1,335 days, when you add that all up, you're talking about 75 more days will only be until Christ lands on earth after the witnesses are resurrected, which also marks the end of the reign of the Antichrist. All right, now, tomorrow we're going to go on to Apocalypse chapter Daniel. We're going to go on to Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to work that in. And then you're going to see how all these prophecies are weaved in through all the different apocalyptic prophecies and how they fit perfect. All right, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that time, the time came in this morning. Even I said, I don't know how I'm going to figure it out. You know, I said, it just can't. I mean, it's the way God does it. You know, I said, Daniel, I did. I prayed my sex prayer then, because I've been working on it for a while. I was telling Brother Matthew the other day, after I'm done with terse, then I go and start my work, my writing. Mm-hmm. Then by about 2 hours into writing, my head is a little frazzled, so I say, let me do sex prayer so I can get grace. And then right off the prayer, the thought comes to you. And before I did sex prayer, I asked Daniel to help me. And I was done. I looked at it, and here it was. Because it makes sense too. Because when you look at, you got to look at his other prophecies. Because you know, it cannot be more than 75 days after. So we're not talking years. Yeah. So I says, time 60 days after the Antichrist dies is 90 days. It's more than 75. Then I read 12 again. He says no, from the time their power was taken away, not from the time he was destroyed. And so it all fits just right there. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said,
because people have to be able to see that his power is taken away. That's got to affect somebody.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Otherwise,
yes.
Why not just kill him? That's right.
Yes. God does that injustice to make a mock of him, to show them how stupid they were, and to say, "See, you lost in the end anyway."
That's right.
And he lets them.
We gotta have.
Yes.
I told you so.
Yes. Yes. Very good. I like that.
Very frustrated if we don't get an "I told you so" on.
I love it. That's God's way.
That's right.
That is beautiful. I love that.
See, we were telling you this for a long time.
And you were denying.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, anyway, after that, then I'm looking at it clearly, because I said, okay, God, I'm going through this. I will continue this for the whole octave, and even longer if I have to. But I think I can finish the major parts through the octave of Christmas. So what better time to do it now?
Yeah,
the
right.
Octave of Christmas. The whole octave up to the New Year's. And then I think if up to New Year's I'm not finished, then I can just start doing them on Sundays. But I am going to go every day until I finish it. I may finish it before the octave. But the way it looks here, I don't know. So we're going to have several videos, sermons.
Yeah, I'd like to go home sometime.
Yeah. But I think it'll be done before. But even if it isn't, I'll continue after the octave on Sundays. Mm-hmm. New Year's Day will be the last one that I'll do in a row. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start pick back up on Sundays. Mm-hmm. But I think I may be done before then, but I may not be. It's hard for me to say. But I'm trying to go over these one at a time. We just did 12. We're going to do 7 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then we got to do some of the other verses in there. But so the people can then see how it connects, you know. Mm-hmm. But my thought on all that was, too, that when this is all done, because it'll take too long for us to put our inserts in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think God just wants to show me reading the scriptures and talking about it. Because it makes sense to people. Mm-hmm. Later on, second thing we're going to do is a documentary of the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And then also, we're so far undone from this, because I'm talking about even, I want to get in now, show them again. When I went in against Zionism, because a lot of people say, I don't believe there's going to be a Jew, it's a Muslim or whatever, I have to also then, within these octave sermons, start talking about what I already wrote about that's already on my website, mm-hmm. against Zionism. We got to go into that, too, mm-hmm. on the video, and then direct them over to that. Mm-hmm. Right, so, thank God. You know, that came to me this morning, that time in the times, and I said, 11, 12, and I go, what's he talking about time? I says, but that would be, it's got to be month periods of time, that's fact. So we're talking about 60 days. 60 days after Antichrist's dead is 90 days. Now, okay, maybe I'm off by some of these days a little bit, but the principle's still there. So far I can't see it. It all does fit from what we're talking about here, you know. We know certainly from what Daniel's talking about here on 13, blessed are they who wait 1,335 days mm-hmm. from the beginning of the reign. Mm-hmm. That's the patience of the saints, because then you will see your Christ land on earth.
Yeah, and fortunately, he says days, so that it isn't obscure.
Yes,
you know,
as opposed to the 1260 days. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It could mean years or another 100 years. It could be another. So you don't say that stuff. Yeah. But if the 1260 days means days literally, then the 1335 means days literally.
Yeah, exactly.
And it fits with Antiochus Epiphanes' reign was 3.5 years, a little under, mm-hmm. and he went into exile for 58 days after his reign ended. And then his troops were dispersed. It's exactly a prefigurement of that. Which was the commentary shows you that there was a prefigurement on there.
You know.
Antiochus Epiphanes, 145 or 170 BC, mm-hmm. time of the Maccabees, the time of Judas Maccabees. You know, you can even parallel all that and how that happens there. All right. So, okay, I think that's it for now. And tomorrow we'll go with our next sermon. All right. We'll start with our hymns. We're going to end it with hymns.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.